I feel half asleep right now.
I know.
Hey, it's the ride home. Hey. Wow. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Ride Home Podcast. My name is Abby.
Hey, guys, it's Caitlin.
I am currently not looking at Caitlin because every time we make eye contact, we start laughing for some reason. I'm not sure why. Probably because we are very rusty right now.
It feels like we've actually never had a podcast before.
It's brand new.
It's the first time.
I had surgery, so we've been taking it easy. We also had a wedding out of town. I feel like just because it's spooky season, I do have to mention what my surgery was.
Mm-hmm.
I had an alien body removed from my corpse.
Abby actually went to Area 51 to get her surgery done. Part of a project.
You know the scene out of Aliens when the alien literally jumps through the person's stomach?
Is it Aliens or Alien?
Either one. Were you silent or were you silenced? either way, there's a scene in those movies where the alien comes out of the person's stomach. That was literally what happened to
me. That's what happened.
I had a dermoid cyst / teratoma. There's many different names for it, but it was like a massive tumor that had hair and bones and...
Ew!
It had bones.
I wish I never knew that. I've accepted that there were hair and teeth. No one ever mentioned bones.
Yeah, there was bone fragments. Maybe that's the teeth. I don't know.
That's what I mean. Teeth are technically bones.
Yeah. So it said there were bones. There was probably the grossest description I've ever heard for a medical thing. They said friable cheesy substance.
Oh, no.
Which I'm assuming is just like fat. But they said friable. Like they were going to pan sear my tumor.
How is it spelled? Is there another meaning for this?
F-R-I-A-B-L-E.
That's got to mean something else.
I think it means it can break apart. Like fry. Like,
easily crumbled. Ew!
Okay, sorry. We like are turning stomachs at this point. Okay.
All right, anyways. We should have had a trigger warning. Put in a trigger warning.
Okay, I'll put in a trigger warning.
Repulsive.
It's disgusting.
You had cottage cheese in your teratoma. Well, you had feta cheese.
They just took out a ball of feta cheese.
Ew, sick. It probably smelled like cheese too. Okay. I want to throw up.
Oh my God. I actually want to die. Okay. We can't talk about it anymore. It's out of my body now. It's been an absolutely brutal recovery.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it.
For both of us.
Yeah. But we are back at the movies. And because in the month of October, I watched 31 horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't need to see another horror movie in the theaters.
I was
going to
say, look at us like evolving. Because it's spooky month. Also, we pretty much do spooky at any time during the year.
We mostly review horror.
We do a lot of horror movies. So it's always nice to take a little break.
Yeah. So this episode, we reviewed a movie that is directed and written by one of the former cast members of Secret Life of the American Teenager, which I don't know which of you have seen that, but my brothers and I watched it religiously, not because it was a good show.
Mm-mm.
The opposite of that. Mm-hmm. And we watched it religiously because it was so awful. That it was like, how is this even a show on television?
Dude, it's such a train wreck. So I didn't ever actually watch it when it was on TV.
Yeah.
But you showed it to me
like
a couple of years ago. You're like, have you ever seen this? Like, you just need to experience it. And like, we watched it. And I was just like, what the hell is this absolute train wreck?
The best thing is that like this writer-director has one of the best story arcs ever, which is that she is like a good Christian girl.
Yes, Grace Bowman.
Grace Bowman, who eventually has sex with her boyfriend. And the night she has sex with her boyfriend, her father dies in a plane crash. And she immediately is like, oh, I killed my father.
Because I had sex.
That's just a piece of the puzzle.
Absolutely ridiculous.
So if you haven't watched Secret Life of the American Teenager, please, for the love of God, check it out. It is so much fun.
It is a wild ride.
But Megan Park, who plays Grace Bowman, mm-hmm. is now a writer and director. Did she write The Fallout as well?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. So she did another movie, The Fallout, which was basically about a student who survived a school shooting mm-hmm. and like the feelings of like survivor guilt and sure. PTSD and trauma from that experience. Mm-hmm. And it starred Maddie Ziegler, who is also in this movie. For a directorial debut, I thought it was pretty good.
I thought so too.
I think it had like a few little like melodramatic moments mm-hmm. that felt mm-hmm. kind of film school-y. Mm-hmm. But again, I think for
a first film,
I thought it was pretty good.
Especially for someone who acted in Secret Life of right. American Teenager.
So we saw now her second film, mm-hmm. which is called My Old Ass. Mm-hmm. And it is, I guess the genre I'll put it as, is like a coming of age mm-hmm. Dramedy. Is that
it was a little sprinkle of rom-com,
just a little
romance,
a little dab
well.
Will do it. Mm-hmm. Do you mind giving us a quick little synopsis and cast list?
Sure. An 18th birthday mushroom trip brings Elliot face to face with her wisecracking 39-year-old self. When the older Elliot starts handing out warnings about what her younger self should and shouldn't do, she realizes she has to rethink everything about family, love, and what's becoming a transformative summer. And this movie stars pretty small cast, mm-hmm. Maisie Stella, who I'm just going to say I discovered her. Mm-hmm. I was part of the discovery of her and her sister Lennon Stella. Yeah. When I was in college, they were like literal like
YouTubers.
Children.
Yeah.
I think they were like 5 and 7 or something.
Yeah.
Who just like sang
yep.
cute little songs and stuff and had cute voices. So Maisie Stella, Aubrey Plaza, Maddie Ziegler, Percy Hines White, and Maria Ditzia.
I think we're pretty solid Aubrey Plaza fans, mm-hmm. Just from Parks and Rec. And then there's obviously been some, you know, her work besides that. Like Emily the Criminal was mm-hmm. such a good fucking movie that I highly suggest if you haven't seen it yet. But she has some really good roles that are mm-hmm. not necessarily just pure comedy. But of course, she is fucking hilarious in pretty much everything she does.
100%.
So I guess to just kick it off, mm-hmm. Caitlin, what did you think of My Old Ass?
I'm just not really going to pretend
uh-huh.
to play it cool. I loved this movie.
Yeah.
I thought this was such a good progression from her first movie.
Yes.
Like, you yep. can tell that she has grown as a writer.
Yeah.
She's grown as a filmmaker. And she's matured. And so it's kind of cool to see that play out mm-hmm. in her second film. There were so many things that worked well in this movie. I'm just going to say, I was absolutely stunned by how good Maisie Stella did.
So good.
She carried this movie, mm-hmm. which is crazy considering Aubrey Plaza's
yeah.
in it. Like, she really stole the show
yeah.
of this film, and she brought such like a life and charm
yeah.
to the movie. So I'm really impressed by her. I hope we see more from her
yeah.
in the future, because she's quite a really good actress, and I was just not, I didn't know.
Like, I feel like she was very natural. Like, her character felt like a real person.
100, so relatable.
And a part of me is like a little worried that like, I hope that we don't see her play the same character mm. over and over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Especially because she is queer in real life. And mm. I'm worried that
she's going to be typecast.
I'm a little worried about that.
I also thought the cinematography was really beautiful. Well done.
Yeah.
It always helps when like where you're filming is just a yeah. very gorgeous place. So I think like that, mm-hmm. that helps. But there were just some really well done plays
yeah.
with lighting and framing that I felt like really helped carry the movie and make it feel, mm-hmm. you know, more alive.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it, but like this movie felt like life. Yes. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it felt like life on a screen and not just like characters in a movie.
I think one thing that a lot of people struggle with, which I have talked about this before, a lot of people struggle writing coming of age stories that feel A, realistic, but B, like especially nailing down teenage dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of overdo either the characters like way too smart and witty for their own good.
Uh-huh.
And it almost makes them unlikable.
Mm-hmm.
There's a long list of coming of age movies that can kind of make you groan because they're so... Mm-hmm. I keep using the word melodramatic, but they are. Like, a lot of coming of age stories can feel really melodramatic.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a scene of them, like, floating in water, looking up at the sky. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
very, it's, like, pensive and contemplative.
Yes. Yeah. And I think what was so great about this was that this character was facing a very normal, realistic transition in her life, mm-hmm. which was a kid that grew up in a small town that decided to go to college in a big city. And this mm-hmm. is her last summer in her small town.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a normal storyline. This is so refreshing.
Like, what a universal experience.
No one died. Mm-hmm. She wasn't abused. Mm-mm. There wasn't this hidden family secret. There wasn't like, you know, she's processing the, you know, trauma. Death of all mm-hmm. of her friends in a car. Like, there was nothing. It was just a kid going through what every person who has ever graduated college and moved or graduated high school and moved on to college experienced, which is that last summer where you're like, what is going to happen?
What's going
to
happen? Mm-hmm. Like, what do I do now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember that summer very clearly in my own life and like just being like, you know, I'm waking up every morning and I'm going to my babysitting job and I'm doing this, but it's like in 2 weeks I'm not even gonna live here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just that like that constant countdown, which I feel yes. like you could sense Elliot's character having, which is like, I'm only here for this many days.
She even said that.
Yeah,
like I'm only here for 22 more days.
Yeah.
And like the girl she was hooking up with was like, whoa, it's like that, like yeah, we're on countdown. But it's like you almost feel like you have to have a countdown to like prepare yourself for yeah. what's coming.
Yeah,
because moving away from your home
yeah.
after high school is terrifying.
Yeah.
No matter how far or near you move.
Uh-huh.
It is a scary time in your life.
Yeah.
And you don't know what's going to happen. Everything is very up in the air and uncertain. Mm-hmm. And so I think we as people try to prepare ourselves however yeah. we can. And yeah. so it's like, oh, if we do a countdown, then it's like I'm in control of the time that I have left. And I'm aware of the time mm-hmm. that I have left and I can like work with that. And you see, not only does she verbally say that, but you see that in her actions. Like yeah. you see that play out in just how she interacts with her family mm-hmm. and friends and things that she does.
Yeah.
Like where she like starts, she's already been packing this whole time. And yeah. then at one point she just starts putting everything back up on the wall.
Yeah.
Cause she's just like, I want to remember it like this.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I think too, like what I was saying before about the way that some coming of age movies can be like really melodramatic. There was this one scene that like, this is a minor, minor spoiler. I don't think it's going to really affect how you view this movie. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to say it. Like Aubrey Plaza is giving her advice. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, she's the older version of Elliot and she's like, you know, mom's really cool. Like, you should spend time with mom. Like, mm-hmm. you know, hang out with mom. Like, listen to her stories. Like, that kind of thing. And there's this one really funny moment where younger Elliot is like, bro, is mom dead?
Yeah.
Like, why do you keep saying this?
Yeah.
And, like, there's a small part of you when Aubrey Plaza's character is talking about the mom that you're like, maybe she is dead.
I thought that too. I thought that before she even asked that.
But that's what was so refreshing about this movie is that when Aubrey mm-hmm. Plaza was like, no, dude, mom's not dead. Just hang out with her.
Yeah. She's like, no, I'm just saying. Like,
yeah.
don't take it for granted.
Yeah. So I do, again, like it was just a very refreshing version of a coming of age story. And especially a coming of age story that, you know, this has been done a million times before,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, if you think of like Big or you think of 17 Again mm-hmm. or you think of Freaky Friday, there are a lot of coming of age stories that involve like magic of sorts.
Sure.
In none of them do you ever have to explain the magic.
Yeah.
And in this one, I really, really like that they leaned into not explaining how it works. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just like, you know, she went on a mushroom trip and then they can communicate. And then, that's it. And the,
yeah.
And the way that Aubrey Plaza's communicating back is by, like, smoking a shit ton of weed and then she can communicate back. And I thought that was just, like, so... It was funny and it was a perfect enough explanation that it was one of those movies where, sure, you could sit there and be like, oh, well, how does it actually work? Like, why does... How can she talk to her on her phone? She's not on mushrooms anymore. Like,
yeah,
you could easily do that. But I think the way that this... movie and Megan Park leaned into just being like, hey bro, just accept it.
They just can talk.
You just accepted it as a viewer, and I appreciated that it didn't have to be like a whole explanation of how their relationship works.
I appreciated that as well. I also really appreciated the chemistry between Aubrey Plaza and Maisie Stella. I feel like it was a really good casting choice.
Yeah.
It was just really cool to kind of watch them interact. And also just to hear them talk on the phone to each other was really cool. Yeah. Because they were just there. They made a really good comedic team, but also like had little pockets and moments of like deep conversations and real talks and stuff like that. That were really cute too. And... it was just so, like, charming.
Yes. Well, one of the notes that I made actually in my phone was, I don't know if you would agree, but a little bit of it felt like it was like a 90s movie. And a large part of why I wrote that down was the music. It was very, like, it had a very standard orchestral soundtrack. And... it had those scenes where like something romantic was happening and it had sweeping, you know, and like something funny was happening. It was like, you know, like, and there was a part of it that made me feel like a kid again. I don't know how to explain it. Like,
it was nostalgic.
It was, you could tell that a millennial directed it because even though the character is very Gen Z and has a very Gen Z experience, you know, wears baggy clothes, is openly queer, like all of those things that we definitely weren't as millennials.
No.
There still was that like millennial touch. And it really did feel like it was like a hint of like early 2000s or late 90s.
Yeah.
You know, kind of movie.
It was just like a nice little like break.
Yeah.
To sort of suspend reality for a minute and to just have this really touching story.
Yeah.
And it just made you feel good inside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, whenever literally the movie ended, I stood up in the theater and I looked down at Caitlin. She's still sitting there like wiping tears from her eyes. And I was like, I know we need to talk about this on the podcast, but like, what a fucking precious movie.
Yeah.
Like, what a cute movie.
It was a really cute movie.
And I think in a time where it feels like movies are either Marvel or almost like extreme kind of artistic choice, like you either have Marvel or you have like Megalopolis.
Sure.
You know, you
or remakes of movies we've already seen before.
Right.
Like, and there's not a lot of
originality
and fun.
And I think it was just a really refreshing, and it kind of made me think of Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, where it was like, it's so nice to just have a movie, like to just, like you said, suspend reality, to witness this coming of age story. I thought it was also refreshing that this character was solidly queer and wasn't going through a coming out process.
No, yeah.
And I think it was interesting that like her discovery of this summer was like, maybe I'm not gay and I'm bi. Like, and she has a crush on a boy, which it's really funny because like, first of all, the chemistry that she has with Chad's character is spectacular.
Undeniable.
And Chad, the actor, I forget his name, but he was absolutely precious.
He was so endearing.
And I think it was really, I don't know, it was just really refreshing to have kind of a sexual awakening where it was the opposite, where it was somebody who like thought they were gay and is like, you know what, maybe I'm just kind of like bi or pan. She said that. She was like, I don't know, maybe I'm bi or pan. I don't know what I am. And her friend is even like, you're still queer. Like, even if you like him, like, you're fine, dude. Like, just live your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that whole storyline of her and Chad and their relationship and everything had the undertone of Aubrey Plaza's warning of, like, hey, like, don't date Chad.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're kind of constantly, like... which Elliot says, like, what's wrong with him?
Yeah, like, what does he do?
Yeah.
Like, how does he fuck up? Because that's what I was thinking. Yeah. I was like, surely, like, he's going to break her heart. Like, that's what I was thinking. At some point, he's going to break her heart. And that's why she doesn't want her to go through it. She doesn't want that to happen to her. But I also felt like, just to go back one step about the Chad thing, like, I also felt like that was a really important message for queer people, particularly queer women, because I do feel like sometimes within the queer community, there is a little bit of, like, a shunning process that happens for women who are bi who are married to men.
Yeah.
Like, there's this sort of thing of, like, well, you're not actually queer anymore because, like, you just married a man, so, like, you're just hetero. So I feel like... this was a little bit of, like, a healing like message for queer women who are in a hetero relationship.
Yeah.
It's not fair that people do that to them. Yeah. Because, like, you are still queer even if you chose to marry a man. Right. Like, and I think that was, like, a really cute way of, like, addressing that issue. Mm-hmm. Like, of just being like, hey guys, everyone, PSA.
Yeah,
it's okay. You're still gay if you like a man.
Yeah.
And it's okay. And I thought that was really sweet. And just, like, again, a refreshing.
Refreshing.
Like, it's just so refreshing for it not to be, like, another coming out story.
Or yes.
Like, which, like, sorry, like, come out, everyone, and, like, be safe about it. But it's just, like, it's just nice to, like, not have it be a coming out story and it to be, like, a different kind of a queer story.
Which, like, you and I both love Simon, which is, like, a coming out story. But I also think that, like, so many coming out stories just feel unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's either, like, they're super, super traumatic or everyone accepts them in the course of 5 minutes. And so I think it's just really, it is a struggle to watch a lot of queer stories. And I think this movie in particular was just so nice to see, again, just a solidly queer person.
I felt like it was just such an important story to see an already out queer person finding out a new piece of themselves.
Yeah.
Because that is part of the journey.
You as a queer person are perpetually coming out.
Mm-hmm.
For, like, the rest of your life, you're coming out. Unless you're, like, super obviously gay, which at this point, like, I can get clocked.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, you are still perpetually coming out. And so there's a small scene where, you know, she's hanging out with Chad and she's like, I'm gay. And Chad, like, you can see his heartbreak a little bit. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's cool. Like, you know,
trying to be supportive.
Trying to be a good guy because he is a good guy. And then she's just like, but at least I thought I was gay until now. Even though she knows he's going to be nice about it, she still has to come out to him. And so it's just kind of like, it's nice what you said about not reducing, like, a queer person to their coming out story. Is like, no one has one coming out story.
No.
You have thousands.
You come out for the
rest of your life. Every job, every person you meet, every doctor you go to.
Yeah.
You literally have to come out constantly. And so I think it is, as a queer person watching a movie about a queer person, it is so nice to just have
the representation.
Yes the representation, and just, like, not trauma.
Also, like, a happy representation. Like, a wholesome representation. Very wholesome. And I think also what was so precious about that scene in particular, where she's telling him that she's gay, is the relatability of being so scared to tell someone how you feel about them.
Yeah.
That she uses a different name.
Yeah.
Like, instead of being like, you think she's gonna be like, I thought I was gay until I met you, and she's like, until I met this person named Gary. Yeah. And, like, she, like, tells this whole story about this figment of her imagination, Gary, who's very clearly him.
Yeah.
But she, and he knows that she's talking about him, but she's not even comfortable being that vulnerable with him yet, because she's so afraid of her feelings for him. And, like, so fucking relatable, because when I told you that I liked you, the way that I worded it was, I feel like we're in a relationship and I don't hate it.
That's true.
Because I didn't have the courage to say, hey, I think I really like you.
Yeah.
Or I think I might love you was really what I was thinking. But yeah. It's like, you can't just come out and say that to somebody.
Yeah.
Like, that's terrifying. Telling someone that you like them is one of the scariest things. Mm-hmm. It's, to me, as scary as coming out.
Yeah.
So, like, it was just such a relatable and, like, precious way yeah. to depict that. It was just so wholesome. And, like, one of her... like, she does shrooms again.
Yes.
We have to talk about this scene. We have to
talk about it.
She does shrooms again because she's so, like, she's contact desperate. With yeah. Aubrey Plaza. She hasn't been answering her calls. So she's like, okay, I have to do shrooms again. I have to bring her back. I have to contact her. What happens instead... if she
is one of my favorite scenes in a movie this
honestly
year.
it made me so happy I cried,
yeah,
because it was just so freaking wholesome and relatable. She goes on this entire trip where she has a fantasy that she's Justin Bieber, yes. performing at his concert, singing One Less Lonely Girl. And it's this whole musical number where we get to hear Maisie Stella sing.
Yep.
Her voice is incredible.
She crushed it.
She ate. It does kind of sound like baby yep. Justin Bieber, so it fits. But what a funny scene, and what a millennial scene.
It was so funny.
So funny.
It was so funny, and like Maddie Ziegler, and I unfortunately don't know the name of her other friend, the actress. Yeah. They were so great as her like yes. backup dancers.
And then Chad. As a Justin Bieber fangirl. Yes. Oh my God.
Honestly.
As a believer.
You and I were, and like, thank God there was no one else in the theater with us, because you and I were cackling.
We were cackling and singing along.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I felt like a kid again.
Yeah.
That was, I think, what made the other part of this movie so nice, is to just feel so like youthful. A kid again. And
yes.
just to like relate to your younger self.
Yeah.
You know, it's just such a healing experience.
Yeah.
To just watch a movie where you can feel like you're a teenager yeah. again.
And we do need to go into one minor spoiler really fast.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are planning on seeing this movie... and you do not want a spoiler, please just skip ahead in the podcast mm-hmm. for like a little bit. But the scene where the scene where basically we find out that the reason why Aubrey Plaza is telling Maisie, they're both named Elliot, so that's why I'm referring
yeah.
to them as their actors.
Older Elliot is telling younger Elliot
not to date Chad, is because Chad is a great guy. They fall in love, but Chad dies. Nothing could have ever prepared me for the scene where Aubrey Plaza sees Chad.
Ugh.
I think both of us, just our eyes welled up at the same time.
That scene.
I can't even look at you.
We're both going to start crying for that scene because young Elliot is begging. Because uh-huh. this whole time, that's pretty much the only thing. Like, that's the only real wisdom.
Yeah.
Besides, like, pay attention to your family and, like, don't let shit, like, pass you by.
Yeah.
She is like dead set. Like every time they talk, she's like, are you talking to Chad? What are you doing with Chad? Like she's like,
stop
making a yeah. big deal about it. And like younger Elliot is like, I don't get it, because like this dude is amazing
yeah.
and like I can't help it, like I love him.
Mm-hmm.
And like the older one is just like, don't do it. And so she's like, please just tell me, like mm-hmm. you have to tell me, because I'm already falling in love with him.
What's wrong with
so
Chad?
Like just tell me what he does.
Yeah.
And she's like, she doesn't want to tell her, but she's just like, okay, he dies. Mm-hmm. And like, you can't help him and you can't stop it. He dies.
And you don't even know how Chad dies.
She doesn't tell you, but I'm assuming it's either cancer or a car accident.
I like that they didn't give an explanation.
No, it doesn't matter because he dies. And so she's trying to prevent her from the heartbreak of that, of mm-hmm. losing him. And she says that, like, you fall so in love with him that you can't even see straight.
Mm-hmm.
And then he dies. And then as they're having this conversation, Chad walks up and he can see her, because my assumption was going to be that only she could see her.
Uh-huh.
And then when they can see each other, like Aubrey Plaza is having this whole moment of reconnecting with him and then realizing, yes, like, just go ahead and do it. Like, you know what? Like, here he is. Like, you know what? It's worth it. Just do it. Just fall in love with him. Just get heartbroken because this guy is the love of our life, basically. And she gets to hug him again.
Don't even.
I'm literally
crying right now because it's such a beautiful scene.
It's so good.
And Aubrey Plaza is so good in that scene.
She's really, really good in that scene.
God damn it, Aubrey.
She did so, so wonderfully in that scene. And what a beautiful scene that was. The lighting, that was the scene I was talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. The lighting and the cinematography of that whole scene was beautiful.
Yep. I also really loved in that scene that younger Elliot introduces older Elliot to Chad as my uncle Michelle.
And they both said Michelle at the same time.
Yeah. But it was really cute because our friend's kids call me Uncle Abby. Mm-hmm. And so like there was a part of me that, you know, Chad barely reacts to it. And he's just like, oh, I've never met an Uncle Michelle.
Yeah.
And like it's just so like matter of fact, and that was like another connection that I had with Elliot that I was just like, of course she refers to herself as uncle. An uncle.
Mm-hmm. I think that was just a really cool social commentary on maybe this is what the future could look like. You know?
Yeah.
The future could also look like another really funny joke about the future was that Penelope Disick invents some new form of meditation. Yeah. And I was just like, of course she does. Yeah. Like that, honestly, like so trackable.
And there were some like nods to global warming too, and like climate change where she was like, you know, did mom make salmon? Because like, please go eat it because salmon.
Yeah, we don't even have salmon anymore. Yeah.
And so like there were like, you know, funny little comments and stuff like that that were not serious at all. Like they were jokes in the movie. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like this whole commentary on climate change,
which I liked. Again though,
it was funny.
It was like, we don't have to take all this shit so seriously. Like, let's make jokes about it because it's possible, it's happening. We're gonna have to learn how to deal with it, and let's just have some humor and levity about it all. That's also what made this movie so fun, is just it was so relatable and so real, and there were so many heartfelt and touching moments. Mm-hmm. And there were some really deep moments, but all broken up with comedy and levity. Mm-hmm. And lightness and love. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like
this movie is light and love, as gay as that sounds.
Yeah.
It is. And it's needed. It's just so needed.
I think there's going to be a large group of people, unfortunately, who are going to see this movie and they're going to think that it's cheesy. And they're going to think that it is unrealistic.
And to them, I say, get over yourself.
Yeah. No, for real, though.
Like,
real,
actually, though. Get over yourself.
Like, I love that this movie is cheesy. Mm-hmm. And it's not cheesy in a like bad writing way. The writing is great.
The writing's good.
It's just, I feel like we've lost, because it's either Marvel or something really fucking intense, like The Substance, or, you know, even movies that we love, like Strange Darling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these really intense
Oppenheimer.
Yes. Like, you know what everything I mean? Is really heavy. Mm-hmm. And our world is really heavy right now. And it just feels like everything is bad.
And serious.
Yes. And I think, allow yourself to just go see this movie and have fun and enjoy it. And it will really make you rethink your outlook and your perspective on life, which I think is such an important thing that art and that movies are supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when we were in the 90s, everything was so escapist, and it was
that's what I was gonna say. Like, remember when we were just all corny?
Yeah.
Like, what happened to us? Like, our middle school and high school and kind of college experience, like, we were all kind of embarrassing.
Yeah.
Why can't we have that again?
Make America
corny again. That's what's missing.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
You fixed
that's
it.
That's the missing link. Like, to be great is to be corny.
Large popcorn?
100% large popcorn. Which just, I mean, really and truly no notes for me.
I think I had minor notes, but they aren't even worth bringing up. Like, was, you know, this scene could have used a cut. This line could have used a cut. This, you know, this could have been edited more powerfully. This was a little cheesy in, like, not the good way. Mm. You know, but, like, who cares, bro?
Not important.
It literally is not important. Mm-mm. This movie made me feel things that were so much more important than any technical note I could have given mm-hmm. it. And I think that's what I appreciated so much about it, was that I really did escape.
Yeah.
You know, like, my brain went night-night mm-hmm. and I just was in this world with this character who was really compelling. And I also fell in love with Chad. Everyone fell in love with Chad.
We all fell in love with Chad.
Chad is perfect.
Who knew there would be a Chad, a good Chad?
A good Chad! Well, thank you so much for joining our Gush Fest. Again, mm-hmm. this is going to be a comfort movie for us. I highly suggest, like, see this, please, and have an open mind. And again, just, like, let yourself be corny for a little mm-hmm. bit. I do not know what our next episode is going to be, but obviously keep an eye out on our Instagram for that. Hopefully mm-hmm. we are back in action. We do not have that much going on coming up, so we should be able to pump out a decent amount of episodes coming up. So I hope you're enjoying your spooky season. Go watch some spooks. Break it up with this movie. Please go see it while it's still in theaters. Mm-hmm. And we will see you next time.
Thanks for joining us on the ride home.